From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are in the month of March, the first podcast of the month of March, and I'm here again with my wonderful and beautiful wife, Leah. Leah, it's good to be back on the program with you.
Thank you.
And we are, as we did in February, we had a theme for the month of February about love, because it was the love month and everything. But March, we decided to do a different theme, and we're spending this month, this being the first podcast of the month, thinking about the relationship between the church and the family. Actually, we're calling it the family and the church, but the relationship between the family and the church. How can the church help the family, and then how can the family help the church? And those two things are wonderful. Before we get into the first podcast in this series, we're going to spend today thinking about what the church can do to help families. We want to make sure that our listeners understand that we believe, Leah, that families need to be involved in a church. That may seem really obvious, but we live in a world where people say, you know, we can be religious, we can be spiritual, we can be, you know, moral, whatever phrase. There may be some listening to this who, I'm not saying this to be offensive, but you know, you may have that thought. You may say, but I can teach my kids that, I can be that, but I just don't need the church. I don't need that formal side of it. There's a couple problems with that. One is, the Bible tells us we need to be part of a church. That's very clear throughout the New Testament, and that's a different program for a different day. But also, there's something to be said, Leah, for a family being involved in what's sometimes described as a community of believers in a church.
I think a lot of people might tell themselves that they are in a community of believers, but it'd be hard to see that in any given community that there is such a unity that we really need to share. And that's what the church is, really. It's sharing the same, you're in the same mind. And so it's kind of hard to do that when you're not around people who are preaching and teaching all the same thing. There's just that unity that you miss.
And we need to make sure we're displaying that to the world. And I know we probably have some listeners who you may have, for lack of a better term, a bad experience, you know, with the church in your past or something, and that may have turned you off. You may think you don't need the church, but look for a congregation that really teaches the truth, loves the truth, where they talk about joy and hope a lot, where they talk about the truth, but where they also do, as best they can, help families. That doesn't mean every church is going to have every program you might want or 65 youth ministers or whatever on staff, but a church can show great love for families, even really without a lot of staffing, even without a big budget. It's really more, one, they teach the truth, and two, they just have that spirit that wants to help families. And that's really what we're talking about this month, is just that spirit between the two.
And you mentioned this, but we want to be clear also that we're not suggesting this idea. You only need to find a church or be a part of a church because of what it can do for you. And even though this time we're not talking about the other side of that, about what you can do for your congregation or your church. But this time, it's the opposite. It's what they can do for you, what churches can do for families.
And in reality, the things we're going to talk about in this podcast, what the church can do for families, should just simply be a natural outgrowth of a good congregation, one that loves the Bible, one that wants to help families. And all five things we're going to talk about on this program this week really deal with some things that churches should be doing, but sometimes we can just be lax in making sure that they're there. And Leah, to help people memorize them, they all start with the letter S.
Of course.
Yeah, preacher, you have to do that every once in a while, you know, make things alliterated. But five things. And by the way, before we get going here with even number one, this idea is not original with me. The late Brother Wendell Winkler, one of our favorite preachers, one of my favorite preachers for sure. I know he's one of yours as well from a few years ago. I heard him preach one time in a gospel meeting a sermon with this title, as well as one we're going to do in 2 weeks, What Families Can Do for the Church. And I didn't just take his sermons, but I love the title, I love the concept, and developed my own sermons and lessons and this podcast from them as well. He kind of is the, I guess these podcasts sort of dedicated to his memory in some ways, a little way for us to memorialize him and honor him for inspiring the ideas. Five things churches can do for families. Number one, they can strengthen ties with other Christians. We might even say even other faithful Christians. Churches should work at strengthening those ties. And often when we hear that, Leah, we think of, you know, I've got a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, so they need to be around the youth group. And that's part of it. But it's also something to be said for your 12-year-old, your 14-year-old, your 16-year-old, your 8-year-old, whatever, being around the 88-year-olds who are faithful, the 65-year-olds who are faithful. So it's not just within a generation. It's just simply being around faithful Christians of all ages.
Well, you learn so much from people in their different times in their life, their life experiences, the age they are at that time. You know, if you're a younger family, you can learn so much being around a family who's maybe raised children or they have older children, and it gives you different perspective on things, I think. And so that is very important.
And as parents, I think it's very helpful because your children see maybe not the elderly, but they see people who are older who they know have been through certain struggles. If you're a part of a congregation, they've heard this person's name announced 5 times because they've had surgery a couple times recently. They've heard this person, you know, their name announced because they've been sick a lot. And yet there they are. You know, they're just sitting there in the seats, or they're still smiling. Maybe it's the older person who hands out candy every Sunday morning. And there's something to be said as parents for your children just seeing those things and seeing that these people are faithful. But if we have elders listening to this program, or maybe it's a congregation without elders and it's just a very influential member, and maybe you're in charge of certain programs, do the best you can to promote not just the youth group or the children's ministry or whatever your congregation has, but some intergenerational things. And not even the thing, usually we hear that, Lee, we think of, you know, the youth group putting on a meal for the senior saints. That's great. But I'm talking about just specific classes or specific programs, specific activities where it's not just the youth group or just the senior saints or just parents or whomever. It's anybody who wants to come, and then somehow, and it's easier said than done, somehow promote that intergenerational conversation and activity. You'll be amazed at how it helps your kids, helps your family, for them just to be around that on a regular basis. Churches need to intentionally strengthen those ties. So that's number one. Number two, and this will probably be the most obvious of the ones we're going to think about, the way a church can help a family is to serve families through education or through the education program. Your congregation may call it Bible school, they may call it Sunday school, whatever they call it. But one of the things that churches need to do is to consider families when they're doing anything as far as the education wing or the education program of their congregation. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners, Leah, that come from a lot of smaller congregations. We're not saying this in a negative way, but where the education program is quite small. There might be a preschool class, an elementary class, and then maybe the high schoolers, even with the adults. That's even possible. I've seen that before, not often, but there might be 3 classes for kids total, or 4 for all the kids total. But even then, that church can still do certain things to try to serve families, even if there's, we're not talking about having to build a massive education wing here and have a multi-million-dollar educational budget. It's simply thinking about families when they're planning any part of the educational program. And one of the things I think about, and I'll let you talk about this here for a moment, is the curriculum. Thinking about how what we're going to teach, especially the children, the teenagers, how that can help when the children leave the church building and are driving home with their families.
Any Bible education program ought to be family friendly, where you can, you know, a lot of programs, where a lot of congregations have, where everyone is studying the same thing that particular Sunday, and that would make it really easy to talk about.
Or even if just the children, all the children's ages are.
Right, and it just promotes a lot of conversation. But even if, you know, you don't have that kind of setup, it's a natural starting place to talk about something spiritual. You know, what did you study in your Bible class? And that opens the door for a spiritual conversation with your child, and is good for your family, of course. And so it's almost like a built-in skeleton of spiritual training. It's just, that's what it is at its basic form, and it's up to you to flesh it out, so to speak. But I think that's probably the single thing about a Bible curriculum that can benefit a family. It is a structured, and it ought to be a structured skeleton, that if a child would, you know, grow up in a certain congregation, that they would have a good grasp on Bible knowledge. And it's up to them, the parents, you know, of course, to train them in other ways to embellish that and learn about their own unique child and help them with that. But to me, that's what the church can do for a family through the education program. It's to maybe not let any child fall through the gap, so to speak, as long as they were to be mostly faithful in attendance, that they would not grow up not knowing what the Bible says about things.
And in addition to that, I would add, on the other end of the age spectrum, for the parents, the elders or an education director or whatever the position is your congregation has, it needs to think about what are some ways we can equip parents and grandparents and single moms, whoever, through the education program. And this is going to overlap with something we're going to say later, but I want to throw it in here. Sometimes we think the only solution is to have an extra seminar or an extra weekend event. And those things are wonderful. I love those kinds of things. But it's something else to attend, something else to be there for, instead of we already have X percentage of our congregation here for Bible school on Sunday morning or maybe midweek Bible study. Can we have a special class there or take a quarter and emphasize the family or have a special class for single parents or for grandparents? The situations vary, but there's a way to serve families through what you already have in place in the education program. And again, we're going to overlap on that with something later, but I want to put it here because sometimes we don't think that way. We think we have to put in something extra, but you already have the structure in most congregations already in place.
For the Bible school, any kind of Bible class, adults or children, it's not just about filling in the time. We're going to do Bible class. We know we need to. So what can we do to kill 45 minutes before the service starts and or after the service? And that can happen in an adult class where, next up, we're going to study through Philippians. And that might be good. And it is good, of course, to study any book of the Bible. But it needs to be thought out. The church needs to think out. Leaders in the church should think out what are the most important things of family in any given area, culture, time. What do they need? You mentioned seminars. I think stuff like that's so beneficial. But great, do that part as part of your Bible classes. Yeah. Have at least one area of the year, one time of the year that you focus on some special interest study.
And there's also something to be said there for a balance between we want to think months, quarters, years down the road of studying through the New Testament or whatever, but also there may arise a need where we just scrap that plan for a quarter or even just a month and discuss this particular issue in our community that's affecting families or families in general.
Most congregations, I would say most of them, need to have a plan. And it's fine if you have to abandon that plan for a minute, or for a while. But have a plan. Know what you want your congregation to know. Your children, not just the children, of course, but know, you need to know as leaders in the church, or if you're over education, you need to know what they want to know, what they need to know, I should say, what they need to know, and what anyone who's studying the Bible would need to be able to learn better and make it well-rounded. Think through. Don't just think, what sounds good this next quarter?
Like you said, we got through with Ephesians. It's time to study whatever.
Make a plan of what, was the most beneficial for this particular congregation.
I think something just happened on our podcast that may have never happened before, Leah.
What?
I think we may have just, over the last 2 or 3 minutes, started another episode we need to do in the future.
I could talk about Bible education
like a 7-month series or something. But what we're trying to emphasize, obviously, in this program is to think about your families in every aspect of the Bible school program, the education program of the church. Think about how you can serve families in that way. Now, somewhat tied to that, number three is churches can show families new ways to teach their children. Now, this ties back a little bit to something we've done earlier on our podcast, Family Bible Time or Family Devotionals. We're not specifically talking about that, but it does connect to that because a lot of families just simply run out of ideas. You may be two parents who neither one of you is ultra creative, and that's quite okay. There's nothing, there's no Bible verse that says thou shalt be creative as a parent, But those who teach in the Bible school program, many of them, if not most of them, if not all of them, are quite creative and may be able to show you some ways to really get the Bible into the hearts, especially of small children. In our notes, Lee, I mentioned Joshua chapter 4, when the people crossed over into Jordan, they took the 12 stones, and 12 men took a stone each and built this little memorial. And if you didn't know the end of the story, the rest of the story, you would read the first part of that and go, what in the world are they doing that for? And the point of it is, that's exactly why it was done, was the Bible says in Joshua chapter 4 that the time will come when the children will ask, what are these stones here for? And you tell them the story about how God led you out of Egypt and brought you across the Jordan to come into the promised land. And my dad, I'll just cop to it here, is the one who first pointed out to me that's one of those Bible verses that you can describe as a teachable moment. But if you want to look at it with a little bit more philosophical or educational philosophy thing, it is simply a creative way to teach. Go to those teachers, or go to the curriculum they're using, and don't say you can only be creative in Bible class. Be creative at home. Show those families some creative ways, some new ways to teach children. You know, reading your Bible through as a family is wonderful. Reading verses is wonderful. Singing songs is wonderful. But there are other ways to teach, and there's no shame in a church saying, here's a take-home activity, or here is a take-home sheet that shows you a really neat way to reinforce this lesson at your house.
You know, basically, when you have the church, a congregation, you have different talents, different perspectives, different ideas, and they all come together. And I think that's the point we're trying to make, is that if you're trying to go at it alone, you might do a fine job in one area, but when you have a cooperation of all different people who are all striving for one thing, then your opportunities and your options and ideas just grow, and they just expand because of that.
So again, those are kind of connected. To serve families through the Bible school program or the education program, but then also show families new ways to teach their children. You know, the old stories don't change, teaching the truth doesn't change, but there are creative ways to get the Bible into the hearts of your children, the minds of your children. Number four, and I'm going to have to hold myself here, Leah, because I could talk for about 4 hours on this one if I wanted to. Number four, churches can help families by supplying families the time to be families. Now, I'm going to put in a plug here, and this is how I'm going to keep myself from talking for about 45 straight minutes. Next Wednesday's blog post is going to be on this topic, because I wanted to keep myself from going absolutely nuts on the podcast this week, Leah. And some who are listening to this or may read that blog post next Wednesday are going to be shocked that I'm the one saying this. I like activities. I like to look at a church calendar and say, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. And there's nothing wrong with activity. There's nothing wrong with a church being active. I'm not saying that in the least. But if you look at the calendar of a lot of congregations, you've got obviously worship on Sunday morning, Bible classes on Sunday morning. Most congregations have a worship service on Sunday night or some activity on Sunday night, maybe small groups, maybe another Bible class or something. Many still have Wednesday night services. Of course, ours do, and many others still do have something on Wednesday night, Bible class or something along those lines. Okay, but then Monday night, maybe your congregation has a Monday night for the master type activity where people come together to go visiting and things. Great. Tuesday after school, the youth minister wants to meet with the youth group and have a service project. Tuesday night, there's a dinner for the widows. Wednesday before services, there's something going on. Thursday night, there's a committee meeting, and the men's breakfast is Saturday morning. Now, that may seem over the top, but that is not an unusual calendar for a lot of congregations. And my question becomes, can the church then be contributing to the problem of families not being together? And I think if we're not careful, we really can be.
I think sometimes. I also like to throw in this wrench, so to speak, but we have to be careful. I hear a lot of people who will be saying that very thing, you know, oh, we're so busy with church stuff. We just are doing this, we're doing that, and they don't have time to be at home, and they're busy and running around. And true that might be happening with the church, with the congregation, but it also is possible that, you know, that wouldn't be as bad if we didn't also, on top of that, pile on activity after activity after activity. And we're trying to straddle the fence, so to speak. We're trying to be very involved in church, but then not let go of some of the secular activities that might be fine and good. But I've always said this, you know, when you talk about Christians being different, we understand morally that that's true. We understand in every part of our life we're going to be different. But why can't we accept sometimes, and it's hard, especially when you're raising children, that also means your family will look different in what it spends its time doing.
Sure.
I would love to have our children be involved in all the normal activities that just, you know, I'm a traditional kind of girl, you know. We're trying to decide whether we want to let our children, we've not ever dabbled in the sports world with our children, Little League and things like that. And, you know, there's a part of me that wants to do that because it's normal, you know, it's what little kids ought to do, or music lessons. I want that so bad. And I'm not saying that we're not going to do that, but, you know, we're at that point where we're saying, okay, what does this mean for our family time? And it's hard. I think that's a hard thing for family. And the church can help with that, but I just want to throw that caution. Don't fill up so much extra activity that then the fall guy is the church. Well, they plan too much stuff. You know, that's a problem, I think, in another way sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good point, and it's something that I wanted to say, and you beat me to the punch, and that's great because you said a lot more eloquently than I would have. The point I'm trying to make, and something that I just want churches to consider, elders to consider, program directors to consider, people who put on committees and all those kinds of things to consider, is are there ways to be more efficient in what we do? There needs to be a time where congregations just step back and say, are the things we are doing, one, effective to the Lord's work? That's priority number one always. But are they also effective for our members? Are they taking time away, or are we just doing, and I hate to use this phrase, anything connected with the church, but it's just true sometimes. Is it just busy work? Are we just doing it because we've always done it?
And it's also, churches can also consolidate a lot of things. You mentioned that, you know, Monday night for the master, and we've never been a part of that, or a congregation who's ever done that. But the whole idea of that, I think, began by a churches, you know, congregations saying, look, we can't plan something every night. Let's make it one night, and let's, you know, have all the different activities going on so that a family isn't here at the building for youth group activity one night, for a, you know, whatever other activity you throw in there all through the week, that, you know, you consolidate it to one day. And I mean, that's helpful too.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give a little shout out here to our youth minister at Ninth Avenue. Tyler has been trying this, not every month, because they don't have this kind of thing every month, but in February, they had one of their fun outings for the year, that the 7th through 12th grade group had one of their fun outings for the year. They went to a hockey game in Huntsville, I think is what it was. And instead of doing that on a Saturday, and then also taking another Sunday night after church and doing a devotional, they did a devotional on the bus ride, either to or from, I can't remember, the hockey game. And so we'll say, well, the fun thing's all that matters. No, he was actually saying, I'm doing this because I want kids to go home on that Sunday night and be with their parents. They've already been away from them, a lot of them, unless their parents were chaperoning that trip. They've already been away from them most of one entire day. So there's just ways to do that. And I'll stop here because I could go on. There'll be a blog post next Wednesday about it, because it's something I've really been doing a lot of thinking and praying about. Because if we're not careful, we can become almost, and I won't say it fully, but we can almost hypocritical. And make sure you spend time with your families, but also come to 26 activities of the church this week. And those two things just cannot go together. So supply families time to be family. Number five, churches can help families by supplementing what happens at home. And Liz, I'm gonna steal something from something you said earlier a little bit here. We should be supplementing what should be happening at home. If families really want to do what's right, then the very first place they should be able to turn in how to educate their children, how to encourage their children, how to discipline or handle discipline with their children, on and on and on, the very first place they should be able to turn is to the church. The church should be able to supplement anything good for children, good for families, that should be going on in any type of home, whether it's two parents in the home, a single mom, a single dad, you know, grandparents raising their grandchild, whatever. The very first place they should be able to come is to the church. That's true if they're out of ideas for family devotionals. That's true if they are just struggling as parents. They need some counseling or need some encouragement. And I hate to say it, but a lot of parents feel like that's the very last place they can turn. I'm not saying your congregation needs to have a, you know, $100,000 room filled with every parenting resource known to man. That's not what we're trying to say. What we're trying to say is the support should always be there. And even if your congregation cannot afford all sorts of resources and supplemental materials and those kinds of things, someone at that congregation should be able to point parents to a person, a resource, that can help and encourage them.
The idea of the church being people, well, that's where this support and the supplement is, so to speak. I mean, you know, we talked about education and how important that is. But besides that, the true support, it comes from people of like-minded faith realizing that they are all part of the body, the one body. You know, Mary Carroll was having her speech about that.
For Last Leaders.
For Last Leaders. Everything that the church does, you know, there's different activities or different people, different types of people. They all become one in the church. Well, that supports a family. That just, you just have such a wealth of support with that idea of the one body, and there, you know, it all functions in different, it functions in different ways, but it all functions to make a healthy body.
When you struggle as parents, you struggle as a dad or a mom or a grandparent, I think part of the problem, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, Leah, but I do want to talk about this just for a moment. I think sometimes we're scared to admit to people at church that we're not the perfect mom or the perfect dad. And I think I know why we would not want to do that. You know, why some people, I should say, would not want to do that, would not want. And I'm not talking about coming forward on a Sunday morning and, you know, having the congregation of 100 or 1,000 or whatever praying for you. I'm even talking about just bringing it up in a Bible class or sitting down with a preacher or one of the elders and just saying, I'm at a loss here. I think because we think that everybody else at church is perfect, or they look like they have it all figured out, because on Sunday morning they're wearing their coat and tie and their Sunday morning best, and they, you know, drove in with their SUV that's on, like, you know, 66-year payments or whatever, but it looks good, and everybody can smile. I've said from the pulpit many times, everybody can smile for an hour. You know, everybody can look like everything's going right, and they just look like things are going well. The church then becomes the last place we go for support. And it should be the very first place we go for support. And every congregation should be willing to say, we want you to be great parents. We want you to be great grandparents. I guess it's a good grandparents. If you're great grandparents, we hope you're great at that too. But we also know you're going to struggle. And you can come to us. We may not know the perfect answer, but we're going to fight like crazy to find it. It should be where you can come for support for anything, but especially as families. It should be where they should come. And churches should be willing to simply supplement the good things that are happening at home. Did that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good. That way I don't have to edit it out. That's good. So the month of March, we're considering the relationship between families and the church. This week, we wanted to consider what churches can do to help families. And there are many other things we could list. We try to be a little bit specific with these. We can make a really long list. But I think these are five things that are fairly specific that really, Leah, any congregation, really of any size, can do, and I think they must do. Leah will be back with me in 2 weeks on our other full-length podcast for this month. We'll flip this coin over a little bit and think about what families can do to support the church. In between, we'll have a devotional podcast next Thursday. We hope you like this theme. This is one that I've wanted actually to do this podcast we're doing today for a long time, but we decided to wait and do a monthly theme and throw it in there. But we love families, and we love the church. And too often we don't really think about putting those together and how they can support one another, but they really, really can, and they really should. Churches should be there for families, and families should be there to support the church. We hope this has been helpful to you. The show notes for this particular podcast, the list of the five things, as well as a couple of other items to help you re-look over some things, can be found at fawnfamily.com/21. FawnFamily.com/21. We would appreciate your feedback on the program. You can email us anytime. The email address is FawnLegacy@gmail.com. FawnLegacy@gmail.com. And until next time, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.